CliffCentral.com.
Many African children, children of immigrants, or descendants of those who've been historically marginalized, have a common parental story. They were told that they must become a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer, one of those important professions that guarantees some sort of financial upper hand. The arts, and sometimes even the humanities, are considered a big no, and it's considered a waste of a hardworking and underpaid person's earnings. The parents would then be able to boast of their doctor daughter or their lawyer son, whether their child has any joy in being a part of that profession or not. Seeing how little domestic workers earn, one would not be surprised if they fit into this category of parents that advocate for a delay of passion for stability. Get wealthy first and then follow your dreams. For some children, those professions happen to be their passion. How lucky. For many others, they're not, and they find themselves becoming something that they don't want to be in order to become something that they want to be, only later on. 21-year-old Innocent, whose mother's a domestic worker and whose father he just met this year, is an artist to the core. He's even starting a creative movement in Pretoria. The basis of his creativity is his life in the townships. Now, this isn't uncommon. Greats like Hugh Masekela have credited his life in the township as his greatest source of knowledge and inspiration. Today on the Made Sessions on CliffCentral.com, we'll be discussing Innocent's pursuit of creativity and all the things that come with it, from family opinions to guilt to backup plans to funding sources and hopefully to joy. Welcome back, Innocent. It's so good to have you here again.
Thank you guys for having me today.
I have with me my very beautiful co-host, Mbali Njomane.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi guys, it's really good to be back.
So just a refresher, Innocent came with his twin sister a couple of weeks ago to discuss being torn apart at birth and finally finding each other just this February. And they also spoke about a creative movement that they've started in Pretoria called Chilling with the Creatives.
Yeah, Chilling with the Creatives.
So Innocent, let's start with what creativity means to you.
Okay, being a creative to me, you know, it's like having an opportunity to express what's within to the outside world.
That's amazing. That's such an accessible definition.
Just give us a brief background then of how you got into the arts and what your creative skills include.
Okay, this started when I was still in school, you know, and growing up in a township like in Pretoria, you know, guys, we surrounded by many thugs and criminals, you know. So, and you know, like, most of those people are, you know, they believe in those kind of things, you know, not being themselves and not becoming a better person in life, a positive role model, you know. So my mentality was to always be a different person. But then the only way for me to be a different person is to set new rules and do new things.
It's interesting. So you associated being creative to being positive, yeah, and having a positive influence. It was sort of a direct reaction to what you saw as negative.
Yeah.
It's not good.
True. Because most of the things that are happening is that people that are like thugs and all, they have like a very negative influence and yet the negative stories behind them. You know, because sometimes for people to be thugs, it's not because of they wanted to be thugs. Maybe the situation that's happening at home. Then they become negative.
I love that. I love creativity as a mechanism to kind of address social issues or, yeah, situations that you find yourself in.
True, because, okay, you become a creative and you become positive. You influence people and you it's like you become a motivational tool to people, because eventually people will start looking up to you. And you create things that, you know, that inspires young people out there to reach their full potential.
So there's this artist, I can never remember what his name is. He so he's a performance artist, but he does some of the worst things I've ever seen to himself in my life. Like, he's literally sewn his mouth together before, like with a needle, like it's gone through, and okay, he's sewn his mouth together.
Yeah.
He's chopped off a side of his ear. He has nailed his balls to a public square.
Okay.
He has so he's taken this barbed wire and crawled into it completely naked with his skin getting stuck onto the barbed wire.
Okay. So he is his medium.
Yeah, he's a performance artist, and all these things that he does is a kind of commentary on the political climate,
okay,
in which he exists. You,
yeah,
know? So For him, his art is always a reflection of the kind of gravity of the political climate.
Okay.
For him, art isn't fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One can say it's positive. Mm. I don't know if it's fun.
I don't think it is for a lot of artists.
Yeah. So what I wonder is, what is your statement? What do you think for you? Because for I think every artist, art means something very different for them. But for you, what do you think the essence of being an artist is? And what do you think is the responsibility of your art to people?
Okay, like me being a creative is that, like, you know, I personally feel that I'd like to share my story to open boundaries and to inspire people.
Mm. So you're not limited to who you want to inspire. You don't mind inspiring someone that comes from the same background as you, someone that's completely different to you. For you, it's about inspiration.
It's about inspiration.
If you were to say it in one word, what is your creativity? So like someone is a poet or a painter, okay. what is your skill?
Barbarian.
Barbarian. Mm. Okay. That's interesting as an art form.
So this is interesting to me, because for me it seems like it's deeper than a career, and I almost want there to be a distinction.
It's a lifestyle.
Okay.
It's an everyday lifestyle. Because, okay, I don't just do fashion, or I don't even limit myself. Because I do a lot of things. I'm an MC, you understand. I'm trying to become a radio personality as well. Mm. And through me, the process of me wanting to become that, I need to always be positive. Number one, mm. You understand? And I also want to be a presenter. It's the route that I'm trying to become one, you understand? So once you start opening the first door, you start noticing that you've got a lot of things that you can do.
Mm.
You don't just focus on one thing. Because many people just focus, okay, like on being a poet, being a designer. But then you can be a lot of things.
Would you fall into the sort of Kim Kardashian way of being a business person, where you sell yourself as a brand?
Yeah.
And I mean, that manifests into a lot of different kinds of personalities. Yeah. And for you, it's quite the wild child, very eccentric image.
Huh?
But you're selling your identity and all the things that implies, you know, the way that you live, the kind of friends that you have, True. The kind of parties you attend, all that kind of stuff. So you're selling all of that as a kind of brand. So if there's, you know, a big brand that wants to associate to you, they're associating to a kind of lifestyle, a kind of
True.
Way that you live. So they, in a way, subscribing to that. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, it's that way, because so I'm a brand. So and it's also cool because I can be a face of any brand.
Yeah. Right.
Through the process of me growing.
So that's kind of, I mean, as a writer, which I suppose is a form of art as well, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of always been my difficulty, and I think it's something a lot of artists or creatives struggle with, is when your what very much feels like a part of your identity and your calling and your purpose then becomes something that you commodify. Does it feel like when you are beginning to commercialize all these things and to commodify them, that you have to be willing to make certain compromises in terms and tweaks in terms of your core?
Yeah, because it's a funny thing. Yeah, I was once a waiter, and you know, and that type of atmosphere, you need to look in a certain way, which they call normal. Mm-hmm. Understand? So I had to change my look. But then I was not happy, because I was not doing it because I love it. I was doing it for the money. That's the problem. I believe that, you know, if you do something, you need to do it because of the love and you will enjoy it. But then if you're doing it for the money, you won't enjoy it.
You see, that there is the reason I feel like black parents struggle with creativity as a profession.
Okay.
Or a professional option. Is because I think the lines are blurred between love and money. And the intentions of our parents primarily is to push us towards sustainable livelihood. So being able to be self-sufficient, you know, being able to set up house, have a family, take care of ourselves, whatever else, you know, just being financially independent. And that's perhaps the struggle, is that creativity doesn't, and it depends on the creative, but it doesn't fit squarely into a professional box. So there's almost too much uncertainty.
Yeah, I think even though you're a brilliant musician, it doesn't guarantee that you'll get a job as a musician.
True. If you're also pursuing creativity, at least have something that's going to back you up.
And you do have one, right?
Mm. Amen.
So you're busy studying at the moment. What are you studying?
Archives and records.
Do you like it? What, did you pick it out of passion, or is it your backup plan?
It's my backup plan. So it's information science. And, you know, I get to know a lot of things through information. You understand? So it also helps me to gain more information about the creativity, because I'll have strategies to gain information and pursue my talent.
Mm-hmm. So is that how you picked it? Or did you sort of just pick something for the sake of having a backup plan?
Okay, it's also another alternative for me to do psychology, because, you know, in UNISA, for you to be psychology, you need a specific percentage. So unfortunately, I didn't reach that percentage. But then I had an alternative, information science.
Is psychology a genuine interest for you?
Too much.
Is it? Okay, yeah. So you wouldn't have you won't mind if you either go the creative route or the psychology route.
No, yeah, I won't
either
mind.
Way, you'd be happy. Yeah. That's very nice to find that.
True.
Yeah. And you said that your father's the one that actually, you think you got your creativity from your father.
Yeah.
Because he's also quite a creative man. Did he ever pursue it?
Not really. He never pursued it like in its fullest wing. Because I have my uncle who's also a creative, but then he's blooming. And he's in America right now.
Mm.
He's a dancer. He does a lot of things. So, okay. And I won't actually say that I took it from my father's side, because, okay, I come from a family that are all creators, but then my father limited himself to become that great person.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my uncle's side, because he's a very positive person and he's willing and he's doing it out there. So he's the one that's inspiring me right now to become that better person.
So having older members of your family having explored the creative realm somewhat, whether it's your uncle a lot or your father just a bit, does it make it easier for your mother, for instance, to accept that you want to take a route in creativity? Has she always been encouraging, or does she have some issues with it as well?
She used to have a lot of issues, because when I was still in school, sometimes I used to skip classes to go to gigs.
Hmm.
I used to skip classes to go to gigs. And she said the calling was just too incredible. It was just too loud, you know. And not to say that I didn't even want to go to school, but then, you know, I tried to balance the equation. You know, if school doesn't work out, I could probably win in the creative sector, you know. So my mother has always been like, you know, a disadvantage for me to become, because, you know, okay, my son is out here rocking some, you know, some hella cool, like, kind of, you know, devilish things. You know, people used to think that I was satanism.
Yeah.
And you understand, and the society made her feel that way.
I think that in African culture, how we label a lot of things that we don't understand is, we make them kind of sinister. And I think it's because our frames of reference and our moral compass is so religious, you know?
Yeah.
But you see, now I'm not convinced, though. I'm not convinced that you would be equally happy as a psychologist, because I wonder then, you know, if you were bunking school to go to gigs, right? And you said the calling was really loud. Is that the same way you feel about a career in psychology?
True.
Well, was he studying psychology when he was bunking?
No, I was in school.
Because it was
high school.
School, which isn't.
No, but I'm wondering. Passion. Yeah, but I'm wondering if you would go to the same lengths.
I will.
For a psychology degree.
I will. Because I personally have a love of working with people and getting to know people and actually inspiring people.
Mm.
Because I'm also influenced into the motivational speaking thing. You understand? Yeah. And, you know, a psychology, it's like also a motivational person, but then in an indirect way, because you get to sit with different people and just share conversation.
Okay. So then do you feel like, would you say in some ways that you practice psychology through creativity?
True. True, yeah.
Interesting. Is that something that kind of fuels your creative choices a lot?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Is connection with
connection
people.
With people. Because creatives are people that like being or surrounding themselves with other people.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
On me or mine.
It's just you.
Yeah,
because I do think it is down to personality. I think your personality does enjoy that, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it also, it works well for the kind of creator that you are as well. Because, you know, if you're selling an identity and a lifestyle and those kinds of things, then the crowd around you is part of your art.
Yeah, because they are the people that are going to push you. They are the people that are going to tell people about you.
Mm.
So you need to always surround yourself with those people. Mm. You understand? Also keep them motivated. Mm. So that when they go to other people and tell people about you, people should wonder, who's this guy? What's so incredible about him?
Yeah. So you're basically trying to build a double career.
Yeah.
How are you funding this? So how do you get through school? And at the same time, how do you create your... Because, I mean, you've got beautiful imagery and an amazing style, very interesting style.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up with both of them financially?
Because me personally, I ain't funding that shit. It is not being funded.
Okay. You know, like for me to go to different gigs, I get paid.
Okay.
So, you know, when I get paid, I use the money to go to school.
Nice. Interesting. So it's actually the creativity funding the profession and not the other way around.
Wow, you don't hear that every day. Okay, then that almost nullifies my next question, which was going to be, do you ever feel any guilt that your parents made the sacrifices that they did and your dad wasn't able to give expression to his creativity, maybe because he had responsibilities and that you...
Well, he didn't grow up with his dad.
Oh, you didn't grow up...
Yeah,
okay, okay. Yeah. So then guilt towards your mom, right? Because, you know, she obviously had to prioritize putting food on the table and passion to her was a privilege. So do you ever feel... I was going to ask if you feel any guilt about just doing your own thing.
Not really, but because my mom knows that the creativity thing, I didn't just like pick it up anywhere. It's something that's what was within the family, my father's side. So she's noticing it. Just that she didn't want me to become a creative. You know, she was expecting me to be like those lawyers, you know, the doctors thing. But then the DNA that's in me, it's different, you know. It's the creative DNA, you know.
Do you know if she's disappointed at all that you're choosing to pursue it?
For now, she's not disappointed because I'm back at school.
Okay. If you weren't at school, then do you think it would have been a problem?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that she would ever help you financially? If you say you just ran out of gigs and it's a bit of a dry season, do you think that she would help you out?
You know, I've taught myself one thing, that I don't rely on my parents. Because I've never grew up relying on them. I've always been a hustler and I've always, you know, always had something that's going to sustain me. You know, if I don't get gigs, I hustle and I sell clothes. If I don't get like castings, I try to get gigs for being an MC. You understand? So it's a different ball game. I'm everywhere. That's why I'm saying I don't limit myself. I try to always be hungry, always be active, and always move to the next level.
And do you think that all those things will one day come together to build an empire? So will that be a clothing line? Will that be
you know,
motivational speaking? Will that is that the plan, or at the moment is it just a series of separate hustles?
Okay, it's a plan, because one day when I become successful, I can share with the future generation the steps that I've been through. You understand how hard I used to hustle. You understand the failures that I also have been through, and how was I able to succeed through them? You know, so it works as a very huge and amazing plan, because okay, chilling with the creative it's out here, it's growing. You understand? So it's becoming an empire as well.
Question: do you think your mom is creatively frustrated? No, on a personal level, right? So we've spoken about how therapeutic creativity can be, right? And liberating to whatever challenging set of circumstances you find yourself in. Do you think she craves a similar outlet? Do you think she has one?
No.
Do you think she could do with one?
Maybe.
I wonder about that generation, and maybe just like a generation older, if, like, I think sometimes there's not even a way to process art, you know, or creativity. So it's like you know when you can't know what to miss. You can't even know what to miss, because art was just not a thing. It wasn't an option. It wasn't. I mean, I remember like my mother thinks that soccer players are thugs. You know, like they're just uneducated people that just decided to not take life that seriously, so they decided to play games for the rest of their lives, you know? So
that's
association.
That's quite a challenge for us. And the reason I'm asking this question is that, you know, we as the Made Sessions and as Made have taken quite a creative approach to addressing domestic work in South Africa, right? And to tapping into the unseen and undervalued potential that domestic workers have in South Africa. Do you think in your mom's situation, in her role and her job as a domestic worker, in her own life, there are ways in which creativity would have helped her along? And given her different opportunities or different choices.
Yeah, because what are you saying? It's so true, because, you know, okay, her being a creative, oh, those opportunities helping her, because she can learn and she can, because, you know, our I don't even want to lie to you, our parents as black people, they are so creative.
So creative. That's the thing. Amen.
But then they limit themselves, not because, but then I wouldn't even blame them. I'll blame their parents and society at that time of the moment, because they were not influenced to things like social media and all.
I must say, though, they practice creativity all the time. Like the hustle, surviving.
Nothing makes you creative like the hustle.
Hands-on creativity.
Beyond.
All day, every day. And and also for creativity to be intertwined with survival, I think is fundamental, because that's how new systems come.
Absolutely.
So that's how new economies come. I mean, yeah, like the kind of creativity that I think a lot of the marginalized and immigrants and those kind of things come up with are the things that literally change society.
I mean, and which is why I loved your definition of creativity in the beginning. It's like a way of being, a way of thinking, right? It's not a body of work or a craft necessarily. It's just a mindset.
Yeah.
I wonder if a lot of black parents are actually closet or unseen, not the word is, creatives.
I mean, but is it fun when you have no choice but to be creative? You know, when creativity is a choice, it's very different. And it can even maybe from time to time be rewarding when it's not painful or whatever it is, you know, that allows your creative expression. But when you have to be creative, when you have to like create a meal out of mayo and ham, you know, that's not fun. So it's also about the things that bring out that creativity. What are the terms?
You're right. So do you think then that is why they caution us against it on a very subconscious level, because they associate creativity to struggle, to hustle?
Yes, I do think that that has something to do with it, but I also think there's no guarantee of financial stability. There's no guarantee of success. What does it even mean that you want to write words and get paid to write words? You know what I mean? But someone can quantify what an accountant's role is, yeah, what a lawyer's role is. They can easily and comfortably say that to their neighbor, that my child gets people out of prison, or my child. Mm. But what is my child rights words?
Yeah. Mm. But you know? I think it's a problem, because this mentality, it's killing us. You know, it's denying a lot of people to become great people, you know, because, okay, you can go down to the CBD or anywhere. You might find people that are dancing just in the streets to make money. Mm.
Is it that bad if it's delayed gratification? So first get a degree, first become a lawyer, and then you can pursue a career in the arts. Is that still an issue?
I think it's an issue, because sometimes we need to notice that being a creativity as well, it goes with age.
Are you sure?
I'm sure sometimes. Because it's sometimes, you know...
Because it's not quite like an athlete. Yeah. An athlete only has maybe 10 years. Yeah.
But in different creatives as well. You need to know that, you know. Because sometimes, okay, let's say I'm a dancer. I can't be a dancer at the age of 70 years old.
Yes, you can.
Not everyone. Sometimes it limits yourself.
I mean, it's much harder.
It's much harder because the bones...
I don't know. I just see some amazing people that do these things till the day they die. You know, I mean, yes, I think it is important to be known when you're much younger. Yeah. I think that definitely helps. True. And I think for something like dance, yes, it helps to be known when you're younger, because then when you're in your 70s, you can still be revered. They can still enjoy watching you or whatever. But I think in certain arts, it's ageless.
Hmm.
But that's a good point. Think that the system is the one that's killing us at school. You know, because they're making us to concentrate on the same things.
Mm.
And through that process, we all cannot be doctors.
Yeah, I've always tried to figure out what makes white people, for instance, so supportive of creativity in their kids versus black parents who try to dissuade you. And I think it's because white people are more comfortable with uncertainty, and I think they might be more comfortable with uncertainty.
Wow, I think the exact opposite of them.
No, I think
that's
they might be.
They other, that's why they have prejudice, racial society.
No, but that's why.
They do not do good.
No, but I'm saying because they've never had to deal with uncertainty. They have such institutional security, right, that they can allow. Because they know, it's like when you know you have insurance. You know, I think it's much easier then for you to take risks to gamble. So if we can equate creativity to uncertainty, it makes them.
Do you think that security is in the form of networks?
Even that you know? One, you know, it is
that. Yeah. That yeah. Because you
yeah,
know,
that one.
My uncle knows that designer. Knows
oh
that
my
guy,
god!
Knows.
I'm literally having a brainwave. This is fantastic, because I've been trying to figure this out. Because I creatively have been incredibly uncomfortable. And I was talking to my mom about this the other day and the lessons that I've learned, because I've spent the past 11 years of my life
being a creative,
like day in day out, right? And no 2 days of my life have ever looked the same. In fact, oftentimes they're just vastly different, because I'm constantly figuring things out as I go, and I'm constantly in a process of trial and error. And I don't know how many things I've done, ideas I've had, you know, all of this in the past 10 years to finally arrive to where I am now, which is a fairly certain place. But in the process, it's just always, I've always had to live with like this chronic uncertainty, and it almost drove me to the point of madness. And what I was saying to my mom, I think what I didn't realize gives you creative freedom and structure.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
I
feel like she's been waiting long time.
Thank you. Many
years.
I have a watch.
Uh-huh moment.
Because structure.
Like, really no, works. Because I realize what's limited me creatively.
Yeah.
A lot of the time is fear and anxiety. And so a lot of the time my creative process has been destructive, and I've been demoralized, and I've had to pick myself up over and over and over again. Right. And there's always an opportunity cost. So, you know, the time that I spend being depressed and having to pick myself up, I actually could have been creating.
Yeah.
Right. But all those emotions come at the cost of creativity. And I said to my mom, I feel like the biggest irony in the world is that structure enables creativity.
Some people are too afraid to move to the next level of becoming successful. Because sometimes, you know, being successful in the creative sector comes with being famous. But then, would you be able to sustain your fame? I feel that this sometimes keeps people back. You understand? Because you need to go to meetings. And you need to go to professional meetings. You know, you can't be out your meeting under the trees or everything, things like that. You understand? You go to restaurants, they're also expensive. You're meeting people like Bonang, like Poeti. Or like, let's say, SA Fashion Week inviting you to come to the Fashion Week in Cape Town. Will you have money to go there?
Okay, so on that realistic level of, you know, the logistics
around
being a creative, part of the logistics as well is priorities, financial priorities. Do you have any of that kind of stuff? So family members that you have to take care of financially, or do you feel the pressure of making enough money to make your mom happy or to make your mom a bit comfortable? Maybe your mom can retire early or whatever. Do you have those kinds of things in your mind when you do what you do?
Yeah, true, because every time when I hustle, I think about my family. Because I need to, you know, I need to sustain them, you know, and I need to make sure that one day, okay, my mom will stop working and I'll be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
So does that ever affect the kind of gigs that you take or where your career is heading based on those kinds of things or based on being able to go to Fashion Week in Cape Town or whatever it is to do? Are those things determined by some of those financial priorities in the back of your head?
Yeah, because I believe that if I go there, I might meet an investor who's willing to invest in my art craft, you know. So sometimes it takes sacrifices that I need to go there, because it's good to be at the good time with good people. You know, sometimes even in the creative sector, for people to succeed, Some of them, their work is not good, but then they were there at the right time with the right people.
Yeah.
People are a big part of it, eh? Connections. And
yeah,
networks.
Because you can meet a very huge investor from America.
Has social media changed that at all? Are you more able to access networks than you otherwise wouldn't have been able to because your work is on public display?
Yeah, I think social media has played a very huge role. Because if my work is able to be viewed in abroad countries through social media, you understand, it plays a very huge role and an impact in my work. You know, for someone who's in Cape Town, who's in Durban, for them to be able to see what I'm doing, it's a very good thing through social media, because it connects people. It's like we're in the same place.
Because I find it so interesting. It seems a lot like artists will make things for social media, not necessarily for people.
Yeah.
But people happen to be on social media.
No, that's really smart. And in terms of what you're saying, as far as having to be able to financially sustain your lifestyle, if you're famous, I think social media has made a huge difference. And it's cut a lot of operational costs for people who are trying to get exposure or fame. And you don't necessarily have to be... I don't think in 2017 you have to be rich to be famous. Social media following is actually more valuable than rands and cents.
That's so true. You remember when I told you about that? Sometimes to also get an endorsement deal, you need to have a certain level of followers, 10K. Understand? So what about those people who have the most coolest work, but then they don't have 10K? Followers. So it means they won't get that opportunity to get the endorsement deal.
That hurts me personally. I hate it. It's like it's the social media version of quiet people.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that don't have that many followers.
Yeah.
Social media version of quiet.
I know what I got time.
It has its advantages and yet also its disadvantages.
Yeah.
But it definitely, I do think it's been really good for our creative economy on this continent, where, you know, there still are massive levels of of poverty alongside massive levels of talent. And in many ways, because before, you know, particularly in Western economies, before social media and internet, money had to come first, right? So you'd have money, then you'd get famous, and then you'd get more money. And that almost like made it very, very difficult for people who didn't have much. And that's where the American dream comes from, right? It's because it's like this amazing thing you achieve. You're Oprah. You make this like enormous leap from being having nothing in America to being everything in America.
Yeah. What was actually interesting with the models back in the day was not models, like the model back in the day, was that actually fame a lot of times came before money did. And that was because behind the scenes, if you don't understand contracts, they could screw you over so nicely. Like, I don't know if you remember actually, but Rihanna, when she released her Rated R album, that was what, her fourth album or something, she was broke. She was like bankrupt because she just didn't, like, she didn't understand the paperwork. She didn't, her accountant screwed her. So a lot of the times, actually, even Oprah, she wasn't rich until like a while after she was on air. So she was famous.
Yeah, okay. So it came later. I guess what happened then, and this is another reason I'm pro social media, is because it's made people a lot more independent from managers and from record companies and agencies and middlemen, essentially. So, you know, the money and the resources had to come from somewhere, but usually the money, the people who put in the money and the resources would then also reap the rewards, and the artists would lose out.
Yeah.
And I think like social media also gives people a lot more control. And I asked you just now if you have an agent. You said no, and it wasn't a thing for you. You know, back in the day, if you didn't have an agent, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, if no one recommends you, you're not at the door.
And I also think social media, you know, talking about social media, it's playing a very huge role. Also in Africa or South Africa, people like Somizi.
Soms,
you understand? And people have noticed him through social, because he was really hated before. But then now he's a superstar.
Yeah, he did go through that phase, actually.
He's a superstar.
What changed?
The influence through social media and everything that he's
been doing.
Oh,
that changed!
What I wonder is if it's intrigue. Whether they like you or hate you, if they're intrigued enough and interested enough, then
they'll learn to like you.
Yeah, because that's why I love Kim Kardashian. I love her.
I also love me some Kim, girl.
Because, you know, it's not necessarily that I subscribe, but I just love seeing how she got there and why she has so much attention. Do you think intrigue is enough?
Mind you, I don't think you'd take her to dinner. Oh, I don't think you'd like...
I think you'd probably take her to dinner,
but I don't think you'd take her to like several dinners.
I might.
I don't know if you would be her friend.
I feel like I'd learn very interesting business concepts.
But
for
I
this
also
generation.
Suspect that she might offend you in other ways.
I don't think she would.
But I also think
I've been watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I don't think she would.
But then sometimes looks are deceiving, you know. But
it's true.
It could be beauty without brains.
But this is the thing. A lot of the times it's considered beauty without brains. I think she has brains.
She has brains.
You know, so it's like it's not a pleasant surprise, because it's not necessarily that I expected her to not be intelligent, because you don't get that.
I think she got smart.
Without being intelligent.
Yeah.
I think she's been smart.
I don't know about that. But I also think that the machine, like, I'm always aware of how many forces and how many people are behind creating just one person and how many things are at work behind the scenes. And those things can actually make the human appear a lot, the human being the product, appear a lot more savvy and a lot smarter than they actually are.
The thing is, you're assuming that she only became successful when she became a public figure. She was already a businesswoman before we ever knew her as a public figure. So it's not necessarily just from seeing, oh wow, she happens to be savvy, therefore I believe she's savvy. She's been savvy.
Yeah.
Then she just happened to present herself as a public figure, and that came with its own nuances.
I think Kim Kardashian's is kind of this weird in between, where she's both overestimated and underestimated. I think the answer's somewhere in the middle. That's my suspicion.
I disagree. But with that, we need to round up. I want to thank you so much, founder of Chilling with the Creatives, Innocent.
Yeah,
are you Have you founded it with a couple of other people?
Yeah. It's me and my nigga. So we're the co-founders.
Okay, that's wonderful. And maybe next time we'll also have him on.
Yeah.
And I sort of just want to leave you with a quote that's really actually just a reminder rather than a thought of the day. This is by Pablo Picasso. Every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once we grow up. And, you know, often we do tend to forget that we all started out creatively.
Can I also quote Picasso? Can I just jump on that bandwagon?
Yes.
Picasso also said that in order to truly tap into your creativity, you've got to kill your parents. And not literally kill your parents, as in, like, murder them. But you've got to drown them out. And I think those quotes are both relevant.
Yeah. Can I add
very
something?
Different
ways.
Yeah.
Okay. For people that are being hated, what I can say is that it's far better to create things that people criticize than to create nothing and criticize others.
And I feel like Picasso probably said that.
That's so good. Thank you so much. Please make sure to follow us on Facebook on The Made Sessions. That's MAIDE Sessions. As well as our Twitter page, which is at Made Project. That's again MAIDE Project. Have a very lovely afternoon. Thank you so much, Innocent, for coming. You're part of the family, part of the furniture. Thank you, Mbali.
Thank you.
Anytime. I'll be on your show anytime, girl.
Look at this one. Have a really good afternoon and make sure to catch us next week.
Bye.
Cliffcentral. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. Cliffcentral.com.